It seemed like the crowds were more engaged in women's doubles than they were in men's doubles. And I hate to say that because I'm a guy and I play men's doubles. I don't play women's doubles. So you know I'm telling the truth here. My honest opinion is it really looked like the crowds and the people there, they just liked women's doubles more. They thought it was more exciting. And I hate to say it, but I think it's true. I mean, women's doubles is the firefights are longer because they're hitting the ball less hard. So they have more time to react and keep the ball in play. And I personally think women's doubles is the most exciting event in pickleball.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
All right, guys, so we are back with another episode of my show. You might notice that the quality of this episode is better than the ones on my first computer, a little bit worse than the one on my my last one. I got a new computer that Anna got for me. I soon realized that when you have a computer, you need a charger for that computer. So I actually didn't get the right charger for this new computer, this new MacBook Pro, and whatever. So anyway, not charged. So now I'm back on Anna's computer, which is better than my first computer. So, you know, at least you can see me and hear me a little better than the first one, which was just horrible. So actually, in the last 3 days, I have been teaching. I think I've taught in the last 3 days a total of about 30 to 35 hours. Just been going from 9 to 9 the last 3 days at these different clubs. Namely, you know, I went to the Chesapeake YMCA in Maryland, Downline Sports Center in Fairfax, Virginia. And then I taught at the Putaway in Maryland somewhere. I don't know. But I've been doing a ton of teaching and it's just been absolutely crazy the amount of time I've been spending on the court. I've been having a lot of fun with it. You know, I think one of the things that I'm really, really seeing at any level is that the righty-lefty team is such an advantage. You know, Ben Johns and Colin Johns came out and said that they think that in the future, all the top teams will be righty-lefty. And I don't know about all the top teams, but I think there's definitely a case for most of the top teams being righty-lefty in the future. You just see it at all the levels, how much of an advantage it is. And I think with how much more powerful the paddles are nowadays and how much more potent the drive and crash play is today, I think that having a righty-lefty team is very important. Speaking of which, I'm playing San Clemente this upcoming weekend, and I'm playing with Tyler Loom, who some consider to be the best lefty player in the game, or at least that's what I'm going to consider him as, because he's my partner. I'm going to back him up, and I'm super excited about that. So, you know, the serve is getting a lot more powerful. People are really going after the serve, and as such, the drive is getting more potent. It's becoming more of a weapon as well, because the returns are getting a little shorter off of these hard, deep serves. So what that means is the drive and crash, I think, is becoming more of a weapon these days than it ever has before. I don't think that's going to change. I think people are definitely becoming more married to the idea of the hard serve. And because of that, they're going for the drive. They're trying to hit the, you know, the good drive, and they're trying to come in and crash. And if you can crash from both sides, which is what a lefty-righty team can do, that changes everything. It is such an advantage. I think if you have, you know, obviously, people can crash from the backhand, from the right. If you're a righty on the right side, you can use a backhanded crash, but it's just not the same. You need a two-hander to do it successfully, I would say. I think crashing with a one-handed backhand from the right is a tough play to make, and I personally can't do it. And still, crashing with a two-handed backhand from the right is not as easy as just being a lefty and crashing from the right. So that's huge, the crash. Also, the coverage from the middle, I think it's, me personally, I know this better than anybody because my favorite attack is the backhand off the bounce across the body of the right side of player in front of me. Kind of goes through the middle. One thing about attacking across body, you know, going instead of right down the line from the sideline, going through the middle with your attack is that you are going to be hitting into a bigger amount of court. because of the geometry of the court. If you go straight through the court, it's, you know, from the kitchen to the baseline, it's 22 feet plus the kitchen length or whatever it is. But if you go diagonally, there is effectively more court to hit into. There's just more space because of the geometry of the court. And also when you do that through the middle, the net is at its lowest point. Just like we always talk about, the net is 34 inches in the middle and 36 inches on the side, and that 2 inches matters a lot. So if you're going against a lefty, they've got a forehand in the middle, and they're backed up by a righty's forehand in the middle on the other side. So it just makes things so much tougher. And lastly, the reason why I think the lefty-righty team is becoming even more important than it was before is because more of us are now using two-handed backhand cross-court topspin roll dinks. Okay, it's a lot of words. Two-handed backhand cross-court topspin roll dink. But that is something that sets up a lefty to Ernie like no other, right? If you have a two-handed cross-court dink, put a lot of topspin on it, most of those two-handed backhand cross-court dinks, which is, you know, if there's anything I'm qualified to talk about, it's that. It's my favorite shot. When those bounce, they will run away from that left side player because there is a good deal of side spin on that shot most of the time. So if you've ever seen the two-handed backhand dink, it's not just a low to high. I always teach it as more of a cupping motion from the side. And you can see that on my YouTube channel or pretty much any pickleball match I've played, you'll see I'm coming across the side of it so that when it bounces, it is going to run away from that opponent, making the opponent on the left side reach like this. And if somebody's reaching, you're taught to go for the Ernie. And if you've got a lefty to your right who can Ernie, it makes things a lot easier. So I think that just goes to show. I mean, the last time I played with Tyler, he was Ernieing a ton of shots. I set him up for a ton of Ernies, and he's better at Ernieing than anybody. So we actually played pretty well. We got to the quarters of Nationals last year. We lost in 5 sets to the Johns Bros. We won the first or 2 out of 3 first games. We were playing great, and then we barely lost. But hopefully we can come back and do something similar, maybe actually win this time against Ben. That's about it. I think that's another one of the big advantages of lefty-righty team. Another one, actually, lastly, is if there is, one of you guys on your lefty-righty team doesn't like their drop, you know, is shaky on the drops, it's a lot easier for if you're on the left, and if you've got a lefty over there, they can come over more and take more drops with their forehand. If I'm on the left and I'm struggling with dropping, I've got to ask my partner on the right to come over with a backhand and try to take more drops. Not easy. So I would say that pickleball, it almost seems like it was invented for lefty-righty teams to play it. And that's all. You know, I feel bad for the right-handed right-siders. I'm sure there's still a place for it. I think that we're 10 years out from all of the top 20 teams being lefty-righty teams. I think there's guys like Dylan Frazier, Matt Wright, Colin Johns. I think they're always going to be at the top, at least for the foreseeable future. I was watching Dylan Frazier play the right a couple weekends ago. The guy is just unbelievable. Which brings me to my next point. It's crazy, but men's doubles and mixed doubles and women's doubles for that matter, all of these events and singles are all so different. And I think that's what makes pickleball so cool. There's men's doubles, mixed doubles, women's singles, and men's doubles, 5 different events, all of which are so different, require completely different skill sets. I can name a few players who I think I'm a lot better at mixed doubles than who in men's doubles. I mean, you put me on the right in men's doubles versus a Dylan Frazier on the right in men's doubles. Dylan Frazier, I would, if my life was on the line and I had to put either me or Dylan Frazier on the right in a men's doubles match to save my life, I'm giving it to Dylan. Dylan, you handle this. I don't want to be in there. I'm going to let Dylan take it. But in mixed doubles, I think I'm probably a little better than Dylan. So it's just, it's just crazy. There's so many different events and everything is so different. And I think that's what makes pickleball cool. So that's one of the things. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I was just at Major League Pickleball, DC. And if there was one takeaway that I had from that event,
So, before we get into this episode, we have to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you are missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. So get excited. Exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lesson courses, podcasts like mine, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily, from gripping PPA tournament matches like the ones that I'm in, or live coverage of a grandstand court to insightful player interviews? Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. And if you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to download the app today.
It seemed like the crowds were more engaged in women's doubles than they were in men's doubles. And I hate to say that because I'm a guy and I play men's doubles. I don't play women's doubles. So you know I'm telling the truth here. My honest opinion is it really looks like the crowds and the people there, they just liked women's doubles more. They thought it was more exciting. And I hate to say it, but I think it's true. I mean, women's doubles is, you know, the firefights are longer because they're hitting the ball less hard, so they have more time to react and keep the ball in play. And I personally think women's doubles is the most exciting event in pickleball. There's less dinking. There's more speed-ups. It's less calculated. It's more of just like a free-for-all frenzy of speed-ups and lobs and all this crazy stuff going on. So then you ask yourself, how do you replicate that in men's doubles? How do you make men's doubles that exciting? Because in pickleball, you know, we don't have a ton of fans. There's not a lot of people watching. I think, of course, we want to be, you know, purists of the game. We want to keep the game how it is, but we also need to focus on finding ways to increase fan engagement, get more people watching, especially men's doubles, which gets a lot of criticism for how boring it is, which I can totally understand because there's so much dinking. So how do we get these longer firefights, and how do we make men's doubles as exciting as women's doubles? And I'm sure there's some people who think men's doubles is more fun to watch, and that's totally fair too, but the majority of people seem to like women's doubles more. And the question, well, I would say this. The answer is there needs to be, in my opinion, less powerful paddles used for men's doubles than women's doubles. This is a crazy take, but if you think about it, in baseball, softball, men and women use different bats. In the NBA and the WNBA, they use a different ball, at least a smaller ball, I think. And I personally believe that if men's doubles was played with softer paddles that were just as gritty, so you could still shape the ball and have the spin, but the paddles were softer, the rallies would be a lot more fun to watch because they would be longer. And in men's doubles with powerful paddles, if you speed it up at a good men's doubles player, the counter is going to come back way too quickly. So you have to be very patient, very calculated with when you speed it up and when you don't. That's common knowledge. And that's why men's doubles rallies are so long and there's so much dinking. And for an untrained eye, it's just boring. Totally true. Totally understandable. If we had softer paddles, we could have less calculated speed ups. We could have more fun rallies. You could just willy-nilly speed the ball up here and there, just like they do in women's doubles. I think it would make for a significantly better product. So either we make the paddles across the board softer, which is what I'm hoping that PPA will do in 2025. I think that's what they will do. That's option one. Option two, have different paddles for men's doubles and women's doubles, or just different paddle standards for men to use, even in mixed doubles, right? So like, for example, if you're a male player and you're in the pros, you know, in rec, I'm not going to prevent people in rec from doing what they want. If you're playing recreationally, use the paddle that you want to use. That's not my job. But in professional pickleball, maybe it makes sense for male players to have a limit of power. Let's say there's, you know, if you're a male player, you can't use a paddle that has a higher exit velocity or just a more powerful paddle than, let's say, the Power Air. Just to use that example, that's just what I use, right? And then if you're a female player, you cannot use a paddle that's more powerful than the OO2, just a little more powerful, maybe a 10% difference. And I think if male players were forced to use paddles that were at most 10% less powerful than female players, I think mixed doubles would also be more interesting Because right now, you watch mixed doubles, the male players obviously have a huge advantage. They're males, right? They can take more court, they have longer reach, they're more athletic and more power. But if you reduced the paddle power that a male player could use, but you kept the female player's paddle the same, then now it's a little more even, right? I mean, maybe instead of taking 70% of the court, men are taking 60. And there's a little more variance in what could happen. You know, I mean, if I speed it up at a girl instead of it always coming back here and I can just finish it, it's kind of a basic play. It's a little murkier if she's got a super powerful paddle and I don't. I think that that can make things more fun. And this is just my idea. This is not, I'm not advocating for any crazy changes. I'm just trying to get my ideas out there. I kind of want to see what you guys think about this. And if you think this is a dumb idea, that's fine. Tell me. I'm totally, Anna tells me my ideas are dumb all the time. I've got ideas for days. Most of them get shot down. So I'm used to it. But anyway, let me know what you guys think about that in the comments. I haven't been able to respond to the last comments. I'm going to get on that today. I've just been so busy. MLP, Sacramento, teaching all day, all this crazy stuff. But I'm going to get back on it. So anyway, thank you for watching, everybody. That's all.